here, it's going to be up farther. And push here, it's going to be up farther. So that kind of arrangement is much more efficient in terms of pumping than having that whole muscle contracted once. So now here's an interesting question. From your past experience, you know the blood leaves this ventricle and goes into the aorta. Does all the blood leave the ventricle? We're going to come look at that. So there's a volume that's left in there at the end of the pump. And what is, so what is it that determines, what is it that determines how long this contraction takes place? Calcium. The removal of calcium, so the action of dental, and those calcium pumps. Now how much blood is there?
Come back.
So it goes like this.
Goes
that.
Yeah. Goes like that, and then relaxes from the top down.
So it goes like this. It doesn't.
It squeezes up, and then relaxes from here down. Okay? She said it squeezes up, and then relaxes from the top down. Oh, but you see, when you do that, it's interesting when you do that, is when you squeeze like that, you're squeezing all of it at once.
I'll be closer to the
bottom. Ah!
Like
in okay.
Science where you get closer to the bottom,
okay.
And then like make holes for us in your face.
Yeah, that's because you're a younger brother. Younger brothers can't do it. It's true, my younger brother couldn't do it either.
Genetic disorder.
Yeah. Squeezes from the bottom up, okay, and then relaxes from the top down. The last thing to contract is the first thing to relax. That's the ventricle. Atrium, I don't care about. And we'll see why. You saw that the atrial muscle is not very thick. The atrial muscle, unless you're really exercising a lot, during heavy exercise, and the heartbeat is really, really high, that contribution, we'll see that later, that contribution of atrial contraction. If you have high cardiac output, that's a little bit different, but normally, it's just a little bit less than we'll see.
There's a home like this.
Okay, questions?
I had a question about the figure that went around.
Yep.
On the last three actual potentials that are charted, but can you remind me again what that second dip is that we see after the first spike up and then dips instead
of this dip?
Yeah.
Right here?
Yeah.
Then what that dip really reflects probably is a difference in the closure or in the opening of calcium channels compared to the closure of sodium channels and opening of calcium channels. But on some drawing, in some traces, you'll see that come down. In some cases, you see a little dip. In some cases, you see more. What does the delay represent? Why do you think that this happens before this happens? Where is the signal coming from? Coming from here. It says that it arrives here before it arrives here. And how does it get from here to here to here? How does the action potential get propagated? There's a little nerve in there, a little axon in there, it's here propagated. Out through the gap junctions. Some people will tell you that those are interrelated. Septum contract? Yeah, that's muscle.
Yeah, so that's starting to contract and then
move
around to the outside.
Well, no, the contraction actually, if I look at what you have to look at is where do these fibers go on what cell? And so the connections are the pathway is such that this area contracts first. And so it kind of moves up that way.
But there's
contraction in the septum, but the direction is kind of both ways, isn't it? It's not moving a whole lot. So the major movement is really from here. We'll look at an eating heart next week. Specialized cardiac muscle cells.
Okay.
So all of these are all cardiac muscle cells.
Okay.
They all come from the same origin, but the genomic expression is different.
Okay.
So they're somewhat different. So I guess the reason that I would tell you that this muscle gets stimulated before the septum gets stimulated is because the arrangement of the circulated disc or the gap junctions are such to give a preferential movement in this direction.
Thank you.
But I wouldn't think necessarily about insulation the way you would think about
nerve
insulation. A myelinated nerve fiber. I think more of the occurrence and the location of the gap junctions.
Those are like muscle cells that are pretending to be fibers.
Oh, they're muscle cells that are pretending to be muscle cells. Because they really are.
Yeah.
From 184 Saturday.
yes, you can.
You're about as fine as that. You should. I want to be
1-3.
1-3. 1-3 on Saturday?
Yes.
Room
184. 518, not Modell. So he definitely. Yeah, well, he's very straightforward and intelligent.
Yes, the better part. Just on the
better
side.
Okay.
I never hear him talk.
Echocardiogram.
Oh no, an echocardiogram is not an ECG.
considered EKG. Thanks for the clarification.
Echo card is good. ECG. Echo. That's certainly true. We were talking, as long as you guys brought up echo, I was talking this morning to my colleague in Chicago. And we were talking about echocardiograms. And how, what is an echocardiogram? It's what? Isn't that sound?
Ultrasound.
Yeah. Doppler ultrasound. Happens is you have the high frequency sound through and measure the time between emitting that sound and that sound being reflected. Halter test and EKG. Generally, an EKG, what you do is you have the patient sit down, lie down, and you put on some leads and you measure the EKG. A Halter test, the person wears the EKG with a recorder for 24 hours and it's continuous EKG recording for that 24 hours.
That's pretty cool.
Measuring the same thing. Okay. It's very interesting because if I put an electrode here, I also measure something, but I don't measure, I measure activity, but I don't measure an EKG. What might I measure? I measure what? I measure the electrical activity of the muscles in my arm. And if I put electrodes on my head, I can measure something, but I'm not measuring heart. And I'm not measuring, don't get an EKG. What am I measuring? Electrical activity in the brain, some positive electrical activity in the brain. So, what I'm really doing when I put the electrodes here, or here, is I'm recording a potential difference, electrical potential difference. I'm not really recording electricity, I'm recording a potential difference across the difference generator. I'm looking here and here, that generator is a heart because it's being seen there. If I look here and here, it's that muscle because that's what's generating it. The thing that causes that difference is a potential difference. So I don't see any activity between this electrode and that electrode if the muscle is not depolarizing, because nothing is happening in the extracellular fluid. So I'm not looking at the difference between the inside and the outside of the cell. I'm always on the outside of the cell. So what we want to do is think about why that might be reflected and what that really tells us. And then we want to know why we care about it. Because I don't care about it the way a cardiologist cares about it. When I was a graduate student and was taking cardiovascular physiology, we had a cardiologist come in to tell us about EKGs and interpreting EKGs. And he said something that has stuck with me for many, many, many years, because that was many, many years ago. He said, well, this is really all hocus pocus. And I said, that's fine, I don't have to know about it yet. Diagnostic thing. And as I had said earlier years ago, that it was really great that I could do the things I want to do, be called doctor, never have to see people. I don't think I have to get into that situation. So I really don't care about what the EKG tells me, the way a cardiologist I do care about it, because it tells me something about physiology that lets me know more about how the heart works. So we don't care about really, in this course, we care about vector deviation. We don't care about ST depression. We don't care about a lot of other things.
How is it
giving
effects
on the
heart? Good
question. Adam says, how can it pick up the heart if it's here and here? So, if we look at this picture that's on page 21, or look at the picture that's on page 40, so look at what's on page 21, what we see is a battery. Here, that could be a D cell, or it could be a C cell, or it could be a double A cell, or it could be a triple A cell. It wouldn't be a B cell, why not? Because B cells are immune cells, right? And they don't, they're not battery cells. And it couldn't be a T cell. Because that's an immune cell. Everybody's familiar with it. And if, in fact, I go up to a battery tester, not a person to test batteries, but a little electric thing covering batteries, whether or not, I put an electrode on the positive end, an electrode on the negative end, and there's a resistance in there, and that tells me what the voltage is across the battery. we had these things called voltmeters. And voltmeters kind of look like this. And in this space right here, they did not have numbers. I remember the numbers came along at some point. But they didn't have numbers. They had a little, what you call a,
needle.
And the needle would deflect. So in this case, if this is the reference electrode and this is the positive electrode, the deflection would be towards positive. Okay? So that's if I put this on that end of the battery and this on that end of the battery. But what is this? That's a petri dish. That's some water with some salt in it. And what is the characteristic of salt water that is relevant to this discussion?
It's
a conductor. All aboard, conductor. Which means that if it's a conductor, then voltage will be transmitted across or be reflected across it, which means that I don't have to put that electrode right on the tip of that battery. I can put it in the salt water. And I can put this in the salt water and I'll see the deflection. Not only that, if I do that, the deflection will give me some indication of how far apart or the direction of that battery or dipole. What's a dipole?
It
has two poles. It has a positive pole and a negative pole. And what we see here then is that now if I have it like this, if that's the reference, and that's the positive, I'm still going to see that deflection in that way. Can I even draw that? Well, what happens if I turn that battery in that salt water? So it's like this. Now what am I going to see? Well, I see a deflection. Two possibilities.
Which way are you turning
that? I'm looking at this one here, and I turn the battery like that. So am I going to see a deflection?
No.
No, why not?
Maybe there's going to be the same polarity
in this. Why is there going to be the same polarity,
though? Well, why not? Is it just being positive or negative?
It depends if the wires come exactly in the middle of the battery.
It is. They're
right here. And now I've turned the battery that way.
Yeah,
and he says it's not going to be a deflection. And why not?
What's going through the solution?
But if I turn it this way, will I see a deflection? If I have it in that direction?
Yeah.
Why?
Because
what? Very complicated. It's being generated. Pardon me?
Aren't you measuring the charge difference perpendicular to the field? So you wouldn't take anything out as long as
said that if that was positive and that's negative, and I put the electrode here and here, so now we see a deflection like that. Okay? And I said, well, what happens if we make it this way? And what you guys said in a very complicated way. What you said is that I will see a deflection in that same direction, but not as much. because now this electrode is farther away from the positive. And what she told me in a very strange way is if I put the battery like that and I have the electrode here and here, I won't see a deflection. And the reason I won't see a deflection is because this electrode is equidistant from the positive and negative, and this electrode is equidistant from the positive and negative. So if you want to deal with field theory, that's great. It's generating the fields of continuity. If you really want to get down the nitty-gritty, you say, okay, if I'm not a physicist and I don't know anything about fields, and I'm not a farmer and I don't know anything about fields, it looks to me like this is just as far away from here as it is here, and this is just as far away from here as it is here. And if I turn it this way now, then it becomes closer. If I turn it this way, then it becomes closer to the positive, becomes closer to here, the negative becomes closer to here, and now I get a deflection in that direction. So then, in this case, we have the meter, the needle pointing toward the positive. In this case, we're going to have the needle pointing toward the negative. Now, the needle is measuring the potential difference between this point and that. And one of them is a reference. So we switched the leads to what we had here. Now, if I take this and I do something really fancy with that, and that is I take that needle and I put it in a coil that's a little bit bigger and I attach a pin to that and run some paper under it, I can record those changes. And now you get an EKG. So what this really tells me is, if I think about the heart as a battery, and the extracellular fluid is all outside those cells, then I can look at which way that effective battery is pointing. And I can get a view across here. And if I look at it across here, do I see the same thing? No, I see, in principle, I see the same thing, but I see a different deflection because the view is different. So what that EKG does is it tells me something about how that heart is depolarizing and repolarizing. I'm not measuring action potential. Why am I not measuring action potential?
It's also telling me about the shape too.
Shape of what? Not necessarily. It tells me the direction of the orientation of the depolarization. Not necessarily the direction of the heart. Why isn't it telling me about action potential?
Because it's not measuring the inside to the outside of the membrane.
Because it's not measuring from the inside to the outside of the membrane. Membrane is measuring on the outside of the membrane. So.
Question, Dr. Modell?
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter on these figures, on the voltmeter, it doesn't matter which side is positive or negative, just the battery?
Well, the side that's positive and negative is a particular convention. Mm-hmm. So we're going to look at whatever that convention is.
Right.
Yeah.
But as far as that device goes, there is no difference between the right side and the left side, positive and
that's
negative.
Right. That's right.
Okay.
So if I turn that meter over. So here we have a heart. And in this heart, we have three electrodes. We can put meters between the three electrodes, and we're going to be able to see the heart from this across that direction. We're going to see it across this direction here and across that direction here. And because of the structure of the muscle and the amount of muscles to be polarizing, those signals and the view that we're taking, those signals won't be the same. They're going to be different deflections. And in fact, if I now take a whole bunch of electrodes, oh, let's say, what's a good number?
Dozen.
12 electrodes. I take 12 electrodes and I put them across the chest, I can end up looking at that from different, little different aspects, and I can get more information about the electrical activity. So, this is a standard V2, a standard V2, we don't care, a standard kind of view of that. And oh, I guess we did go back. We did have a picture here, so close. If you look on page F20, on figure 2, it shows you then how that wave depolarization is like a whole bunch of little dipoles or a whole bunch of batteries. So we end up with something that looks like this. Now this is very, very complicated. So I think there's something here that you have to I have to memorize this. A certain piece of this you have to memorize. So you might want to write this down somewhere on your page. Here's a complication. Now, the way that you might want to try to remember that, because I got a note yesterday from somebody who was, or the day before, somebody was relating the music to, after Frank was here, I guess, music to making sense of things, because they said that the way they, it's easy to learn music. So you go back into your childhood, and I assume this is universal, maybe it's not.
I can't learn music.
There's this little thing with
So the ST
is the time between the QRS and the T, and you don't care about it. Okay? And you don't care about the PR interval. That's all clinical stuff. And I'm sure a lot of you just want to know that and make sure that you memorize it, because it might be a conversation at some beer party. Somebody's talking about that. No, that's okay. But for this course, you don't have to worry about that.
Wine and cheese finesse.
Yes. QRS, D. Depolarization of the atrium. Depolarization of the ventricle. Repolarization of the ventricle. That's one heartbeat, right. The whole picture is one heartbeat. Now, how can we... Yep.
I guess I'm just a little confused on what is causing it and why depolarization would have an increase as well as a repolarization. Like, would they be inverse?
No.
No.
No. Inquiring minds want to know. I will tell you that the size and deflection of this depends on what part of the heart is depolarized, what volume of the heart, volume of muscle, is depolarized at a particular time. And all this tells you between here and here is that the same volume of the heart is depolarized here as it is there. Because you're looking at a particular deflection in the wave. So what you really want to do is take a look in the book, or if it doesn't say in the book, then I will give you a thing to describe that, actually what that wave of depolarization looks like and the wave of repolarization looks like from the different viewpoints. But I'm not concerned about that because, you know, all of this is not physiological. The action potential is a physiological event. The EKG is an artifact measurement. Because I'm looking at a particular place, and that's what I see. And because I don't care about it clinically, I don't really care about these times. I might look at the form and see that this is increased for some reason or other. Maybe this is missing or other kinds of things, and get some conclusions out of that. So if I don't care about it for that reason, why the hell should I even bother with it? Why should I care about it? What is it going to tell me about action in the heart that I might be able to learn something about and think about just by putting an electrode across the heart? Two arms.
What about planal curiosity?
Plano, but I have to have, what is it curious about? What does it tell me? It's clinical. If I know what it's supposed to look like and it doesn't look like that, to me that's clinical. Why should I be concerned as a physiologist? Why should I think it would be really, really neat, really, really neat to be able to measure this? Because it tells me something about the timing of depolarization and repolarization. What can I infer from that? What I know about the mechanism, Sandy? No, not really. I can't tell you about the different channels being open. Maybe a little bit about some of the channels being open. But wait a minute. Let me channel to those different kind of channel. Let me channel to those people who want to think about
the big picture. We have any big picture people in here?
Okay. Sarah's a big picture. John's a big picture person. Okay.
So if I'm thinking about the big picture,
so now I'm no longer in individual cells.
If I'm thinking about the big picture with relation to that, what am I thinking about?
The heart.
The heart.
Thinking about the heart. So, how might this help me think about the heart?
Tells you how it works.
It doesn't tell you how it works.
It
doesn't tell you anything about blood pressure, because blood pressure is in the arteries.
No, it tells you something about how slow or fast the pump is pumping. Go on.
This is kind of giving you more measurement of what's going on extracellularly
and part of what influences the heart activity. What is it that's brought in from the extracellular fluid that influences heart activity?
Calcium.
Calcium. And what does that calcium do? Pardon? It initiates contraction. Can I find out anything from this diagram that tells me when I might expect that contraction to take place? About when contraction might be where?
In the
QRS way. So does that tell me about when calcium comes in throughout the whole thing?
No.
No. What does it tell me about?
The timing of how long.
Chad says it tells me about the depolarization of the ventricle.
Good job, Chad.
Okay. Have that written down. All right. So maybe I might see some initiation of contraction there, because the depolarization of the ventricle is going to open up calcium channels. Part going to get that calcium in. What else might I tell? What else might I be able to tell about contraction? He says the atria are going to contract before the ventricles, and when would I expect to see that? When would I expect to see that?
Just after the peak of the P wave.
Wow. Very specific.
What you just said. This guy, he just mumbles things over and over and over. Somebody hear him says, I forgot what I said. You said, maybe I can tell where the atria are going to contract. And I said, where on there would you expect that to be? The P wave, because what happens P wave? Oh, that's the depolarization of the atria, which is going to initiate contractions. Now we say if I look at the P wave, I can see when the atria are going to contract. If I look at the QRS complex, I can see where the ventricles are going to start to contract. And where do I expect the ventricles to relax?
After they contract.
That's the P wave. All right. So if I look at this, now I'm back to this picture. This is the picture we just talked about earlier today. A little bit different, but basically the same thing. Here we have the action potentials going on down here, and we have an EKG superimposed. And I look at this P wave, and I say, my God, what's happening to the P wave? Wow! The SA node is depolarizing, the atrial muscle is depolarizing, so that's contracting. And what's happening at the QRS? Oh, the QRS is when the ventricles depolarize. And oh, what happens between the QRS and the T? That's where the plateau of the action potential is. That's where the calcium is coming in. That's where ventricular contraction is going to happen. And then I see repolarization is where all the calcium is going to leave, basically, or go back to sarcomyelin reticulum and go out to the extracellular fluid, and that happens when the T wave happens. So now I can look at this trace, and the reason it's interesting to me is I can look at that and I can say, what's going on mechanically in the heart? If I look someplace mechanically in the heart, and I see that the time is such that the P wave is happening, what's happening and what do I expect to see in the atrium? What do I expect to see in the ventricle? What do I expect to see in the aorta? And this gives me a timing way to start asking about the mechanical events that are going on in that pump. And will the left side of the heart be different than the right side of the heart? Why? Will the atrial contraction be different?
No.
Will it occur at a different time?
No.
Will the ventricular contraction occur at a different time?
No.
No, why not?
Because they share a node.
Because they share a node. Because the conduction system, it's not that they share a node, because the conduction system goes to both ventricles at the same time.
Sorry, they share a conduction system.
They share a conduction system. So our next task is going to be to think about what happens during cardiac cycle. What happens between one P wave and the next P wave? If I could look at the EKG and somehow only look at the left ventricle, I would see a bigger deflection because there are more cells and more tissue than I would see in the right ventricle. But the timing of that depolarization is the same, which means that both the left ventricle and the right ventricle are going to contract the same way. And the consequence of the bigger muscle is going to be what? So, going to be in terms of electrical activity, going to be in terms of force. So, if I compare the pressure that's developed in the left ventricle and the pressure that's developed in the right ventricle, what will I expect to see? A greater pressure in the left ventricle. So we're going to see that.
Which makes sense.
Right?
Pressure gradient.
So before Monday, I'm going to take 10 minutes.
You said that this next section is